Thankful for y'all praying with Brother Jim. What a blessing. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter number 25. And find Matthew chapter number 25. And we'll get right into it tonight. And I'll get you out of here in an hour or two. Or three. Y'all ain't got nowhere to be. All right. Matthew chapter number 25. Let's do a little bit of reading, and preface this. We were in our studies last night in Bible college. We're in the book of Revelation, and we got to last night the second coming, and so we ended up we started off in Revelation chapter number 19. And with the second coming, the Battle of Armageddon, all of those things, and it doesn't factor into this. I'm just saying all of this because chapter number 25 is right along that time period that we're looking at. A lot of the content and the subject of it is preparing for the second coming of the Lord, not the rapture. A lot of people misinterpret this, and a lot of folks end up getting this wrong, but chapter 24 and chapter 25 is about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is a reference to the second coming. It's a reference to his kingdom, which will be set up here on the earth. And so the millennial reign, if you will, which will take place 7 years after the rapture of the church. It'll take place after the tribulation period that is spoken of in the book of Revelation, all right? And of course, all throughout the Bible. But in chapter number 25, it's preparing us, all right? Jesus was preparing his followers. He was preparing his disciples for his second coming. Now, we're not going to apply it in that manner because we are going to be with him in the second coming. Amen. So I need more than one amen right there. We're going to be with him, all right? So we will get out of here at the rapture. The church will be raptured out at that time, all right? Now, the church is a part of the kingdom of God, but we are not. Is that all right? Just as Valdosta is part of the state of Georgia, but it's not Georgia, all right? Georgia is a part of the United States, but it's not the United States, all right? So we are a part of the kingdom of God, but we really aren't the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven, rather. We are the kingdom of God, all right? Now, the kingdom of God is every saint, every believer. It even includes angels and all of that as far as the kingdom of God. I know it seems to be confusing, but the truth of the matter is this confusing to me at times too, all right? So the kingdom of heaven, just know when we're talking about the kingdom of heaven, it's actually talking about the king coming here and reigning on earth, all right? And that, of course, being Jesus Christ, okay? Now, in application tonight, even though we're not in this in interpretation, we are going to look at it in application, all right? Now, how many of you know this? And if you're in the Bible college, you should. There's only one interpretation of Scripture, amen. All right? Now, there's many applications to Scripture. Now, what that means is we have to define the interpretation, and we did that tonight. We're talking about the second coming. But in application, we're going to talk about being ready for his return, all right? In our instance, that is going to be the rapture when he comes in the clouds. The trumpet's going to sound, and the Bible says, "And the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them into the clouds," all right? Now, as we look at this, with that in mind, let's look at this parable that Jesus gives of the talents, all right? Now, he's given a parable of the 10 virgins, and then he gives us a parable of talents, and this is where we're at. So it starts off with a parable of the 10 virgins and being ready for the bridegroom to come. But in 14, verse number 14, we're looking at the talents. So the Bible says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." All right. "And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another one, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. I'd like to point out something right here. He's going to a far country. Jesus is in a far country right now. He's in heaven. Is everybody all right? And he's coming back, all right? This story will bring that out, that he is coming back, all right? But what I do want to point out here is that everybody was given according to their ability. Does everybody understand that? That means that we're not all given the same, all right? We're given according to our ability. Now, that doesn't mean that you're less than somebody or more than somebody. It's just in God's foreknowledge and his sovereignty, he knows what you are capable of doing, what your potential is, and therefore he gives you things, all right, so that you can achieve your potential and you can achieve your ability. All right, now, verse number 16, the Bible says, then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. And likewise, he that had received two, he also gained other two. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, all right, after a long time, the Lord comes back, right? Is everybody getting this? How the parable relates. All right. So after a long time, the Bible says, let me get back to the verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. All right. That means he brought them all together to give an answer of how they had used the talents that he had given to them. Okay? Now, this is something that we all need to understand. All right? Now, we talked about this last night in Bible college. So the rapture takes place and we go to heaven for 7 years. Tribulation period's happening on the earth. Somebody tell me what is happening in heaven. The Bema Seat, exactly. We said the Bema Seat, the judgment seat of Christ, the same thing, all right? We'll stand before the Lord and we'll give an account, a reckoning, if you will. Once again, this is not in context. This is not an interpretation. This is application, and we're just seeing that the same thing is going to happen to us. When we and I are raptured out of here, there's coming a day that you and I will stand before the Lord and we'll give an answer for what we have done in this body with the gifts and the talents that he has given to us. All right? Now, if you make it to this, all right, no need to worry about hell. I need somebody to say amen. All right? You're in heaven. All right? But this judgment seat isn't about eternal damnation or condemnation. It's about us receiving rewards for what we have done in this body and giving them rewards back to him for what he did for us. All right? Now, in this parable, you're going to see a lot different of how this was handled with the one that just hid the talents. All right? Now, verse number 20. And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Now, can I stop right there and say this? I want to point this out. That even though he had the most talents given to him, look what he said about it. He said, thou hast been faithful over a few. All right? So while we sit there and we look at it and we see a number five and we see it, that's larger than anybody else got, he's still looking at it as, I gave you a few things and you were faithful over a few things. All right? Now, verse number 22. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Once again, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. All right. Now, then He which had, let me stop right there before I get to the other one. I want you to notice that the reward for the guy that gained five and the reward for the guy that gained two was the exact same.
That's right. Amen.
Okay, does everybody get that? We'll make sure you understand that, all right? Because we are working for that reward. You and I are working for a crown. And you need to understand that God's given you gifts and you're to use those gifts. And you may not have what somebody else has. But if you're faithful in what you do have, you'll have the same reward as somebody that has much. Is everybody with me? All right, now let's look at verse 24, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not straw. And I was afraid, that's important, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Now he understood that it was the Lord's, and he understood he understood this man, his heart, if you will. He says, I know, where was it in verse number 25? I knew thee that thou art a hard man, all right? He claims to have known the Lord, or known this Lord, but in fact he didn't. Because if he had known this Lord, then he would have done something with the talent that was given to him. Okay, now let's see here. And gathering where thou hast not straw, let me see, where am I at now? Verse 26. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not straw. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury, or with interest, all right, with gain. How about that? Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. All right? I want to look at this once again. I understand the context of this, and I hope you understand the context of this, but I want to talk about this in application. We started off in the book of Haggai. How many of y'all remember our study in Haggai? How many of y'all remember what I preached 2 weeks ago? I figured, all right? You didn't remember it last week. Miss Angie's got it, though. She come up and told me last week, she said, Brother Robbie, I had it, all right? But anyhow, so we started this whole thing off, and we looked at Haggai. We looked at them rebuilding the temple. Remember, this was after the captivity. They come back into Jerusalem, and the foundation had been laid, but now it was time for them to get to work, all right? And we applied that, and we took that to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, where a foundation has been laid with us. That foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us, Paul's telling the church at Corinth here in chapter number 3, that we're to build upon that foundation, right? And we're to build, we're to use gold, silver, and precious stones. Why? Or precious gems. Why? Because that is what will hold up to the testing or the fire, all right? He said, we will build on that foundation. We'll either build with wood, hay, and stubble, which will burn up in the trials and testings and in the fire, or either we're going to build with gold, silver, and precious stones. So we talked about 2 weeks ago building our temple and how that temple, we are the temple. In chapter number 3 of Corinthians, of 1 Corinthians, Paul said that we, know ye not, that you are the temple of the Lord, and that the Holy Spirit dwells within you. The Spirit dwells within you. So God is in us, okay? And he is, that this temple was a place where God abode, all right? The tabernacle was a place that God abode. The temple was a place that God abode. Now that we're saved, when you and I get saved, our heart, our life is a place where God abodes. So now we are the temple, and so we must build the temple, all right? Last week, How many of y'all remember what we preached on last week? You remember? What was it? Huh? No, I said, what was it? Being filled with the Holy Spirit, all right? So we talked about building our temple 2 weeks ago, but last week we talked about how the tabernacle, the Holy Spirit, or the Shekinah glory, filled the tabernacle. And then the temple was built by Solomon. And the glory of the Lord, once again, the Shekinah glory, filled the temple. That temple was destroyed. This new temple was built. But the glory of the Lord did not fill that temple. All right? We didn't see that filling of the temple or the glory of the Lord coming into that temple until Jesus. The Bible says that He's the glory of God. Right? He's a God of glory, but He is the glory of God. And we don't see the glory of God entering into the temple that they built in Haggai's day until Jesus walks in to that temple. And then we talked about our temple. Be ye not drunk wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. And the question was posed to all of us. The Holy Spirit indwells us, but the question was posed to all of us, have you experienced, or when was the last time you experienced the filling of the Holy Spirit? And of course, we showed where the filling of the Holy Spirit happens with the emptying of ourselves, the confession of our sin, the forgiveness of our sin, and basically the surrender of our life to the Holy Spirit. All right. Now, tonight I want to talk about the talents. All right. I want to talk about the gifts. I want to talk about the things that you and I have been given. Last night when we were in Bible college, and I'm going to try to hurry. I know that I'm trying to build this thing up. But last night we were talking, and I mentioned that if we really understood hell. If we understood it, if we really understood the depths of it and the horrors of it, we would live our lives differently. You remember last night in Bible college, I said if we could open up the door to hell, so to speak, and we were to hear loved ones and people that you and I have been in contact with, and yet we didn't share the gospel with, or we didn't talk to, we didn't tell them about Jesus, how frightening that would be for us. If we could just hear the screams of hell, how would it change your day tomorrow? Amen. What would it cause you to do? We don't understand it. I mean, we look at it, and we looked at Luke chapter number 16 just briefly last night, where it said, the rich man died, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment. He asked Abraham to send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and to place that on his tongue. And he said, for I am tortured in this flame. All right? He's being tortured. All right? So as we look at this with this understanding, understand this. God has given us some talents or some gifts. Now, what does that look like, preacher? What does that mean? Because I can't play the guitar, preacher. Neither can I. All right. I can't play the piano, preacher. I can't either. I wish I could. How many of you wish you could play the piano? I thought that was so silly. When my mama, she took me one time for lessons from the piano, and I think I learned do, re, mi or something like that, and I'm like, do, re, mi no more. Amen. I didn't want to do it no more. But anyhow, I wish I'd have gone on through with it and learned how to play the piano or learned how to do something, but I didn't, and so wasted talent. But anyhow, talents in the Scripture, they interpretation here, they refer to money. This was, the Lord said even, you should have put my money to the exchanger. So the talents that he gave them was money. It was weight of money, all right? Now, that ain't how you and I would talk about it, but that's how it is in Scripture here, all right? But today, in application, how do we want to see this? I think we need to see it as the resources that God has given to us. Not only our abilities, but our time. The Bible tells us we're to redeem the time. And so God has given us time. Somebody help me, right? God has given us talents or abilities. There's things that you can do. Man, there's guys around the church, Brother Johnny, Brother Junior, Brother Vic. Man, anytime something needs to be done around here, Brother Howard, I don't know where he's at tonight. There he is right here in the middle. I mean, right, man, they're on it. Johnny on the spot, didn't mean that by your name, but anyhow, they jump right into it. If we need something built for this or need something done here or need something done, and Miranda uses them with a reckless abandon, and she's got them doing all kind of stuff back there in kids' areas and stuff like that. They're using the abilities that they have, all right? We have abilities. They may not be able to preach. They may not be able to sing. Somebody told me that Brother Howard led the music at First Baptist Church, and I was like, I don't think you know the same Howard that I do. And But anyhow, I got tickled about that thing with Brother Howard last night. But our resources, God has given us those things. He's given us time. Yeah, he's given us talents. He's given us treasure. Amen. He's given us treasure. All right. And we can act poor all you want to, but you and I got a pretty good life. We're sitting in an air-conditioned building, sitting on padded chairs. I'm going to tell you what, there ain't no pew I've ever sat on that's as padded as that chair that you're sitting in right there, all right? And a guy asked me this week, he said, y'all want pews in here in this new building? Are y'all going to do pews? I said, no. Man, if you lost your mind, sit in one of them chairs. You'll never want to sit in a pew again in your entire life, right? And God has given us some of those things, those luxuries. We drove here. Most of us drove here. I don't think anybody walked here. We drove here. We drove here in a car with air conditioning. We drove here in a car that was nice. Probably electric windows and electric door locks. And probably need to go back to the old style where we get a workout just putting the window down, right? But he's given us all these things. Now, the question tonight is, how do we use them? How are you using what God has given to you? All right, and so we see, first off, I want you to notice the ownership of our gifts. The Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell in. So the earth is the Lord's. That means he owns it, all right? And the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell within. So our ownership, the ownership of our gifts, they're really his. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? The talents that was given to these men, they weren't their talents. It was their Lord's talents. And they did something with their Lord's talents. So we have to understand that the ownership of our gifts is not our gift. It is a gift from God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, but all these worketh that one in the selfsame spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. That means God giving these gifts to every man severally, dividing them to every man as he will. Verse number 18, But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. So God gives us these gifts, and he gives us the gifts as it pleases him. Because the ultimate purpose of our gift is to do what? To please him. To what? To glorify God. Exactly. It's to please him. Is to glorify God. It is a gift from God. This ownership of our gifts, it is a gift from God. It is a valuable gift. It's a valuable gift. Now, you might not think your gift is as valuable as somebody else's, but as far as God's concerned, your gift is just as valuable as anybody else's that is sitting in here. And this is what we don't understand, because you and I, in our little minds, what we're capable of understanding, we put more value on somebody that can stand out in front of a crowd and speak, or we put more value on somebody that can stand out in front of a crowd and sing, but God puts more value on those that do with what they've been given all that they can do. Right? And we could go right back to the widow woman that put two mites in. Now, we know we're talking about money there, but at the same time, God said this. He said she's given more than them all because she's given all that she had. In other words, she is given what was given to her. It was God's. What was given to her, she gave back to him. All right, and so this mindset we have to get into is that it is a valuable gift. It's valuable not only to him, but it should be valuable to us as well. It is a gift from God. It is a valuable gift, and it is a gift that has responsibilities. God didn't give you something so that you could hide it. He didn't give you something so you could go dig in the ground and bury it. He gave it to you so that you can use it. When it comes to our spiritual gifts, the Bible says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same, listen to this, one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That's 1 Peter chapter number 4. Get there if you will. 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse number 10. 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse number 10. You and I have been given this gift, and this gift you and I are to use not only for the purpose of pleasing God and for the purpose of glorifying God, but look at this. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same, the gift, to who? To one another. So where do we use our gift? Say it out loud, Brother Johnny, real loud. In the church. In the church. Why? Because we are to minister to one another. What did the Bible tell us about the gifts that were given to us? What was the purpose of the gifts that were given to us? The purpose was to what the church? To edify the church, to build up the church. All right, the body of Christ. This is what we're talking about. The gifts are given. It is a gift with responsibility. We have a responsibility. If God's given you that gift, or giving you a gift, all right, and whatever that is, whether that's your time, whether that's your talents, whether that's your treasure, whatever that talent is that God has given to you, it's been given to you to minister to others, to build up, edify the church. Verse number 11. Verse number 11, it says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Go back to verse number 10, if you will, just for a moment. The Bible says that as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So what does God want you to do? He wants you to be faithful in your talent. How did the Lord, in our parable, how did he address the two men that gained talents? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. They used their talent for the Lord. They were faithful. And when the Lord addressed them, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, let's move on. All right, now, we see the ownership of our gifts. But I want you to notice an observation about our gifts here, all right? Your responsibility is tied to your ability or capability. In other words, God doesn't expect you to do what you cannot do. So if God gave you that talent, if God gave you that gift, then his expectation is that you're capable of using that gift. Does everybody understand that? We got a lot of folks that God has gifted them and God wants to use them, but they don't think they can do it. I remember there was a time where I didn't think I could stand in front of anybody and preach. There was a time I remember when I started preaching, man, I'd be so scared to death. Is everybody right? I remember one of the first times I got called up to preach and practice preaching back when I was in Bible college. Man, we had 130 people in there. That was 130 preachers, and they're all, you can imagine, y'all are Y'all are a rough crowd to preach to, all right? I need to just say that. I mean, y'all mean mugging me the whole time, acting like y'all mad about being at church and all of that. You ought to see all these preachers that think they're better than everybody that's up there standing up there preaching, right? And so anyhow, I had all these guys up there, and I'm supposed to be preaching. I'm a freshman in college, and, you know, I'm 30-something years old. I think I was 32 at the time, and I was just trying to learn how to put a sermon together and all of these things. I'd preached a lot, but I mean, I didn't have any training in it and didn't know how to do it. I just got up there and done what I'd heard, you know. And anyhow, I remember I was sitting there one night, Jesse, and it was getting close to practice preaching time, and they would always, and when I first started going there, they would always, like one of the days of the month, I can't remember what it was, maybe the first Tuesday of the month or something like that, they call up just freshmen. And so, man, I was sitting there, and I was thinking to myself, "Woo, this is going to get bad. I had deodorant on. I need somebody to help me." I learned as a teenage boy that I need deodorant, right? I need some teenagers to say amen, too, all right? So I learned as a teenage boy that I needed deodorant. So, man, when I put on deodorant, I don't get, is everybody all right? I can't handle the just deodorant. It's got to be like extra, extra, extra strength. Is everybody all right? So I got to coat it on, man. I'm getting somewhere with this, I promise you, all right? I'm sitting there, I had to wear, see, our guys, they'd show up in shorts or the flip-flops and everything else. I had to be dressed to a T, man. So I'm in there, I'm in a shirt, tie, everything I'm looking at. I'm sitting up there, and I got on one of them brown shirts. And I'm sitting up there, and boy, I'm thinking, man, I'm going to have to preach tonight. I mean, they done been through a pile of freshmen, and my number's got to be coming. I mean, it's got to be soon. And I put my arm up, talked to George Bennett. When I did, I could just see, is everybody all right? It was wet from about right there to somewhere right along in there. I was so nervous. I remember the whole rest of the night, I sat like this, flipping my pages. Trying to hide, right? I mean, seriously, I mean, there was a time, what I'm trying to get to is there was a time where I didn't think that I could do what I do now. You see what I do now? Man, this is after hundreds, if not thousands of times of me standing in a pulpit and preaching. And you're seeing the results of time over that course. But I have to understand at the beginning of this thing, it wasn't like I was just like, hey, God, I sure would like to stand in front of a bunch of people and preach. And so I felt the nervousness and the doubt and the I can't do it as well as anybody else. But God had given me that gift, and I'm to use it. Amen. So we see the observation of our gifts. We see the obligation of our gifts. Not only we see the ownership of our gifts and the observation of our gifts, but we see the obligation of our gifts. We must use our. I got them all mixed up in here, but we must use it, our talent or our gifts, or we'll lose it. Did anybody catch that? The one that had five talents gained five talents, and then the Lord said about him that he had 10 talents. Did anybody catch that? As a matter of fact, when this Lord took the one talent from the guy that didn't gain anything, he gave it to the one that had 10. So at the reckoning, this Lord didn't take all of his money back. Amen. Did anybody catch that?
Yep.
It was that steward's or that servant's. But the one that didn't do anything with it, he took it from him. The only one that suffered loss was the one that didn't use what God had gave him. The others gained. Are y'all getting what I'm saying?
Amen.
It was this Lord's, and he gave it to them. They put it to use, but he never took it back from them.
Amen.
Though it was his, they kept it. But the one that didn't do anything, he took it back. He took it back from him. The Bible says, but he that knew not and did commit things unworthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. Now listen to this. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him will they ask some more. In other words, when God gives you something, he expects something in return. He expects something in return. And how many of y'all, can we say this? We should feel obligated. Paul said it like this, I am a debtor. I'm obligated because of what God has done for me, and now we're looking at what God has given to me. All of it by grace. I'm obligated to do something with it. So we see the obligation of our gifts. We not only must use it or we'll lose it, but we must use it correctly. Not to build our kingdom, but to build his kingdom. God didn't give you the gift so that you could be famous. God didn't give you the gift so you could be exalted. God didn't give you the gifts that he's given you so others would look at you and say, wow. God gave you the gift so others would look at you and say, what a God. What a Savior. What grace. What mercy. This is the obligation of our gift. I'm moving on. We see the ownership of our gift. We see the observation of our gifts. We see the obligation of our gift. But then we see the oversight of our gifts. God has given us gifts. And though he hasn't returned, even though many of us has heard preaching all of our life about how he's coming back, he's coming back. Though he hasn't returned does not mean that he's not watching over. It does not mean that there won't be a day of reckoning. Amen. When you and I will have to stand before him. So there is the oversight of our gifts. It's promised. There's coming a day. After a long journey, he's going to come back. It's promised. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 14, verse number 12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ or the Bema seat, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Whether it be gold, silver, precious stone, or whether it be wood, hay, or stubble. We'll stand before God. It's promised, all right? But it's also personal. They wasn't gathered together and judged as a group. Right? So, one was given 5 talents, one was given 2 talents, one was given 1 talent. That's 8 talents that was divvied out, right? Now, in our terms, right, they gained 5, they gained 2, so they went from 8 talents to 15 talents. That seems like pretty good. Y'all help me. Amen. Has anybody ever done anything like that? So I got in trouble when I was 16 years old, 15. I got in trouble when I was 15 years old. I like to smoke cigarettes. Is everybody all right? My dad did it. I never understood that. I never understood getting my butt beat for something my daddy did. Right? Hey, if you didn't want me smoking, you shouldn't have done it in front of me. Right. Is everybody all right? I drank too. You know I drank? My daddy drank. Right? I chewed tobacco, not because my daddy did it, because my grandpa did it. And so I was a messed up kid. By the time I was 15, I was chewing tobacco and smoking cigarettes, all right? I got caught doing it. 15 years old, I got caught doing it. I'm fixing to be 16 years old, and my dad, the one that's just had the stroke, my stepdad, he come up. This was his rule. He said I had to make all A's on my report card before I could go and get my license. Now, for some, that would have been very difficult. For me, it wasn't. It was just a matter of applying myself because I did good in school, and I never studied. I never did homework, but I did good in school, made all A's and B's and did that thing. So anyhow, all I had to do was just apply myself for a short period of time, make all A's, get my license, go back to smoking because I'd be in the car where they couldn't get to me, all right? This is the mind of a 16-year-old. So anyhow, my report card come out, and I had all A's except for one class. In one class, I was like, I think 92 was all, you had to have 92 or above to have an A, or maybe it was 93 and above. Whatever it was, I was 1 point off in one of my classes. And, of course, that was because the teacher didn't like me. Y'all know how that goes. All right. Now, anyhow, but I remember I sat there with my dad. I sat there with my dad, and I worked this whole thing out. I said, now, listen, I got 100 in this class. I got an 98 in this class. And I worked the math on it and everything else. I said, man, you average my grades out. I'm way inside of all A's. And that's how I got my license. I need somebody to help me. I was a great negotiator. Is everybody all right? Hey, but it don't work that way with God. Eight talents was given, seven was gained. So it seems like, hey, that's pretty good. We went from eight talents to 15 talents, but does everybody notice how they were judged? Individually. Not as a collective group. We need to understand this, because when we understand this, we need to understand it's personal. The oversight of our gifts. You're not going to listen to me. God's not going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because you was a member of Calvary Baptist Church. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, because you was a member of the Bible College. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, because you was a member of the choir, or you taught Sunday school, or you taught kids, or you did anything. You are going to stand before God, and you will give an account alone. Amen. For what you've done with what God has given you. And lastly, and I'm done, the obstacles to our gifts. I'm done. I got to get us done. The obstacles to our gift. What was the reason that he didn't do anything with his gift? Y'all caught it. He said, I was afraid. I was afraid. But Matt, I'm done. He said, I was afraid. He said, you gave me something, and I knew you were a hard man. I knew that you expected to reap even though you didn't sow. But I was afraid. I was afraid that I was going to fail with what you've given me. I was afraid that I wasn't going to be able to make good use of. Are y'all getting what I'm saying? That's right. The truth of the matter is God's given every single one of us gifts to use for his glory, for his pleasure. He's given us gifts to use for his honor, for his glory. And the biggest obstacle, and it's probably, listen to me, I need everybody to look at me right here. It's probably every one of us. Amen. We can't point over here and say, well, he's scared, but I'm not. But they're never scared, but I am. Our biggest obstacle for all of us is fear. You may be using some of the things that God give you, but are you using all of them? God's gifted you. He's given you some things. Are you using it? if you are using it, are you using it for your own glory? Or are you using it for His glory? See, it's not just our actions that we're going to be judged, but our motives will be judged behind those things too. So ask yourself this, am I doing this to get recognition? Am I doing this that my name might be recognized and spoken of in the church? I might be patted on the back, might be a Facebook post about me, might be this, that, and the other. Or am I doing this because I want God to get the glory out of it? Amen. I struggle. I've struggled with the whole bringing somebody up and saying, look here, they got saved. I almost feel like, is everybody all right? I almost feel like I'm holding up a fish and saying, look how big he was. Am I really doing it for the picture? Right? Come on, y'all, help me now. Amen. Don't get quiet on me. Are we doing it so we can say what a number is? Or are we doing it for God's glory? If we're doing it for God's glory, do we really have to have a number attached to it? Do we have to have a picture attached to it? I think it's somewhere in the Bible. When I say that, it's because I know it's somewhere in the Bible, all right? That if you and I receive man's applause down here, there'll be no reward up there. That reminded me, Billy Graham. Y'all, I don't know enough about Billy Graham as far as his, I ain't gonna say his fall, but as far as his later in life. But I'm gonna tell you something. I watched that man in videos in his early days preach, and I'm like in awe. I am not kidding you. I know the brethren don't like him, but I'm like, man, this man had God's hand all over him. He preaching the gospel, and I'm like, God, I'm literally sitting there with tears in my eyes saying, God, let me preach the gospel like he preaches the gospel. Let me explain the gospel like he explained the gospel. But you know what Billy Graham said? They asked him about the rewards that he would get in heaven. Billy Graham said this. This is when he was in his right mind. And he said, he doesn't believe he'd get any rewards in heaven. He said, I have been celebrated on this earth. I've been celebrated. I've been exalted. I've been applauded. And he says, I don't feel like there'll be many rewards for me in heaven because I receive mine here. Man, the principle behind that. Man, one day you and I are going to stand before our Savior. One day we're going to see the nail prints. One day we're going to see His sides. One day we're going to see the price that was paid for you and I to be there. And when that day comes, I don't want to be standing there with nothing to offer back. Amen. I don't want to be standing there ashamed because I didn't do with the gifts that God had given to me. Amen. Therefore, I had nothing to offer back to Him. Y'all come pray with me. Heads bowed. Let's close the service out. with a commitment to use what God has given to us to the best of our ability for His honor and His glory. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. God, I sure am thankful, Lord, for tonight. Lord, as we, I don't even know if this is a series. It's just kind of how You put it in my head of working and building this temple. Lord, I pray that we apply what we've heard and realize that, God, we must be filled with the Spirit to be of any use to You, any use to this world. Now, God, You've given each of us something. A gift freely given. Maybe to work with our hands, and maybe to speak. It may, Lord, be just to administrate, to help, to organize. God, we use them talents in our everyday life to gain money for ourselves and to build our kingdom. Many of us use the gifts that You have given to us to make a living. But God, may we turn our gifts over to You. They rightly belong to You. And use them for Your honor and glory. Making a living, there's nothing wrong with it. Unless that's all we use the gift that You've given us for. God, let us use our gifts and what You've given us, Lord, for the purpose of edifying the church, building the church, ministering to one another, pleasing You, glorifying You, exalting You. May others see us and see You. May they look at what we accomplish and say, oh, what a God. Lord, I pray, instill upon our hearts, engrave in our hearts, Lord, these principles, these truths, God, may we apply them to our lives. Be better servants for You, better stewards for You. So that one day we might be able to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. For You have been faithful with a few things. Hallelujah. God, help us. Lord, we'll give You all the honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.